Hi, this is Doug Smith with my Doug Unplugged podcast for July 9th, 2006. My voice sounds a little bit raspy or something here. I just caught something a few weeks ago while I was on family vacation, and boy, it laid me flat. I had a temperature for a couple of days, and right in the middle of vacation, our family vacation, the first time in 20 years. The last time I've had anything like this was 20 years ago. I don't get sick very often. So then after that, I was off to Oxford University to do my courses there, which I do in June and in November each year. And I was still sort of sick from that, although the fever was over. I didn't really feel that great, and then having to make a big trip like that. Just a word about Oxford, though, and then we'll get back on some other things. Oxford University is really sort of a great place, and especially for the fall courses that I'm doing, as well as other people obviously teach there. It's not that expensive. Airfare to Oxford in November is probably as cheap or cheaper than going from the East Coast to the West Coast of the States. It's very, because it's not the tourist season. Even in the tourist season, it's not that much different than a fare coast to coast in the United States if you book ahead of time. And they have a lot of great courses there. Howard Johnson teaches a lot of good courses in signal integrity, and there are others there in electromagnetic compatibility. And there I go again, and others, all kind of different topics in electronics and telecommunications, including mine. And you can see mine listed on my website, dsmith.org, if you care to do that. So anyway, getting back just for a minute to this Oxford trip and the getting sick the week before, one of the things I did for it, a couple things, is while I had it, I was probably taking 20 grams a day of vitamin C, equally spread out over the day. And that's probably, I don't know, let's see, 100 milligrams to 20 grams is 200, it's probably about 300 times, or is it 3,000 times? Let's see, 20 grams is 20,000 divided by 100. 20,000, do that, 300 times or what the government says you need to create, to prevent scurvy. And that turns out to have some very interesting effects. Besides protecting your body from damage and the fever, it gives the white blood cell some things to shoot the bad guys with, some free radical stuff that it can shoot with, and the white blood cells. Anyway, it's very good, and there's plenty of research to support that. So, and if you want some information on that, go to orthomed.com, O-R-T-H-O-M-E-D.com, which is the website of Robert F. Cathcart, a pioneering researcher in the field and very well-respected, very knowledgeable kind of a guy. After I got there, and after a day or so, I was feeling better. But I was, whenever I get a little cold or something, even if it's one that doesn't bother me at all, I always cough for a while afterwards. And you don't want to cough in the airplane, well, not so much the airplane, but in the customs area. You're standing there with a customs guy, you know, and you're coughing. And I just had this vision of being quarantined for 2 weeks because they thought I had the bird flu or something. So while I was in England, I bought some cough drops. And these cough drops are called the Fisherman's Friend. They do stop the cough. They absolutely stop the cough. That's because you're not thinking about the coughing. You're thinking about the fire in your throat. And then after about 5 minutes, the fire is replaced by ice. Now it's like Antarctica in your throat. And it's quite a while before you start coughing again after you get over that. But it does keep you from coughing, and I suppose maybe it'll keep you out of quarantine in an airport sometime. But it is the strongest cough drop I have ever taken in my life. I haven't taken that many cough drops, but it works. I'm not sure if it actually does anything for the cough or just diverts your thinking about it, and therefore you don't cough. It's a tiny little thing. It's hard to imagine this tiny little thing you put in your mouth will do that, but it's just an incredible thing called Fisherman's Friend. So if you're over there and you want an experience, try it. Maybe it's available over here too. I've never seen it here. Maybe it is, but it's certainly in England. It's in all the drugstores over there. Final word about Oxford. As a place to go, well, not only does Oxford offer these continuing education courses for engineers and in other fields, but the place itself is a great place. It's just history oozing out of every crack in the sidewalk. And there's also some good shopping there, too. Although I'm not sure that the rate of exchange with other currencies, especially the American dollar, is not that great right now, so it's a little expensive for outsiders. But there are some interesting things that you can do and see there. And there's always, if you look at the notices of events, there's always like chamber music events, orchestras and plays and all kinds of arty kind of things that you can go look at and listen to, as well as scientific talks and things. It's just a great place. The only downside, I guess, of Oxford is or England in general, is the weather is not nearly as good as what I'm used to out here in California. But then we're spoiled. Out here in San Jose, we get like 250 days a year of bright sunshine. So, and we've got one of them today. Probably reach about 100 today, unusually warm. Happens once or twice every summer. But when it's warm, it's really dry, so it's not that bad. It's not warm and humid like it used to be when I lived in New Jersey. Well, how about a little technical stuff here? When I think back of all the problems I've encountered in my career, you know, design problems and weird things that happen and trying to fix them, and since I've been on my own helping other people, the methodology in attacking a problem is very important. And my regular podcast and my technical tidbit article in the month addresses this kind of a thing as well. But in a more general sense, the methodology is probably the most important thing. Thinking of methodology, I would say being extremely careful to change only one thing at a time if you're going to do an experiment. The trouble is these days, the circuits are so fast, you know, you get rising edges way under a nanosecond, that slight little things, picofarad here, nanohenry there, make a big difference, and you end up changing something that you didn't realize you changed. And then you sort of chase yourself around in a circle because you're affecting the thing you're trying to do, and the experiment results don't necessarily make any sense until you finally get control of all the variables. So I just wanted to – that's a very important thing to keep track of. Some of the other topics we may cover in this Unplugged podcast, I'm not going to confine myself to my normal technical stuff, and we'll do a little of that like we just did, but some of the other topics, I may talk a little bit about computer security. I'm an individual. I don't have an IT department here, so I've got to worry about that myself because I've got client data on the computer and all. So we may talk a little about some of the simple things you can do to cover that. And we may talk a little bit about some of my areas of interest that are related to technical things like engine lubrication. We might talk a little about that from the point of view of someone who's going to drive a car. How do you keep it in good shape and cut through all the crap in the advertising out there? That's a technical topic that I sort of like. And there are a number of technical topics in my life that I like to deal with. I'm in the middle right now of working on a car. I'm actually about finished now. It's my 79 Mustang. It's a 5-liter engine, and you know it's almost 30 years old now. And our daughter took one of our cars to college, so I'm getting this thing up to where it's reliable enough as an old car to actually use for my business appointments. And so I'm just in the process of replacing things that tend to go bad with age, things like belts and hoses and radiators and things like that. I'm actually changing some of the design things about the car. I just changed the way the vacuum controls work and controlling the air, the temperature of the air coming in, which don't need to be nearly the same as it does in New Jersey, where it's really cold, because it's not really cold out here. Anyway, I'm doing all kinds of things like that. And I changed some things about the coolant system and other things to actually change the design of the car. Great thing about the older cars is you can do that. I raise the hood of a new car and I look under there and I don't know what anything is. I think I can barely identify the spark plugs. But if one of those little widgets went wrong, I wouldn't have the slightest idea what the symptom would be because it's not, I don't know what the widget is, but I can look under the hood of my old Mustang and everything's obvious and I can work on it and, I can stick my finger in the end of a vacuum hose and see if there's a vacuum there or not, and then I can infer what that's doing with the little control thing that it's at. So it's sort of neat. Anyway, it's pretty much finished now after a fair amount of work and a few $1,000s. It's all set. This week it'll become my official work car. I'm going to go do a seminar on Wednesday with a company here, and I'll use that to drive over to it. Watch it break down on the way. Hopefully not. But I'm into all kinds of technical topics, automobiles, engineering, of course. My hobby when I'm not doing engineering kind of stuff and not doing car kind of stuff would be medical research, read lots of medical stuff, peer-reviewed stuff that used to be hard to get. Now it's easy to get on the web. A lot of junk out there too, but you have to know how to separate the good stuff from the bad. And maybe we'll touch on that a little bit. So I'd like some feedback. Send me an email. Do you like this rather informal kind of a thing, not terribly structured, not heavily edited? There's probably a lot of ums and ahs in here, unlike my more professional podcasts that I do on strictly technical topics. That's why I call this Unplugged. So send me an email. Tell me if you like this kind of a thing or whether it's a waste of your time. And if enough people say it's a waste of their time, I'll save my time and not do it. But if you like this kind of thing, you like sort of informal discussions on technically related issues, not necessarily electrical engineering, then I'll keep doing them. And because it's sort of fun. It's much less work than my regular podcast. I don't have to do all the editing, and I don't have to plan out what I'm going to say so carefully. So anyway, let me know what you think. Send me an email to doug@dsmith.org. Thanks for listening.